So I just want to begin by welcoming all the guests, the devotees. Thank you all for coming and giving your association and your blessings to these devotees who are making the step onto the path of pure devotional service. Initiation means beginning. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada would say that each time initiation means beginning. Beginning what? Beginning of the purpose of human life. The purpose of human life, as it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam Atato, Brahma Jigyasa, to inquire into the nature of the Absolute Truth. And that inquiry means, what is my relationship with that Absolute Truth? Once that inquiry is made in a very serious way, then one starts to move forward by the grace of the Lord through the grace of his representative, this bona fide spiritual master. So initiation really means to consummate what is actually meant to be, and that is that the purpose of life is actually to prema pumartha mahan, to actually develop our natural love of God. Love of God is near, sitting in the heart of all living entity. Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhu kabunai shravanadi siddhi chitte kodiye udoy. In the hearts of all living entities, pure love of God sits. This is our nature. Nature means something that's natural, so it's natural to love God. But due to our association with this material energy, that natural consciousness is covered by something else. So the process of initiation brings one to the path of devotional service under the guidance of Krishna's representative. And that begins human life. Human life begins when we actually take up devotional service to the Lord. Before then, we're practicing. We're simply preparing ourselves for that step. And I should say that each and every one of you here should think, someday, for those of you who haven't made that, I will also want to make that step onto the path of pure devotional service, which is auspicious and is the ultimate principle of happiness and transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, in his discourses on initiation, he always wanted to hear or repeat the 10 offenses to the holy name. Because the first initiation is called Harinam initiation, where we actually, what we say, get the blessings of the spiritual master to really now go deeply into our chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not dependent on initiation. That's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But with the mercy of the spiritual master, along with the guidance that comes by way of that mercy, one can make progress in the chanting. And there is the benefit that comes. And that is necessary, especially in this age of Kali, where there are so many opportunities to become deviated in our spiritual practice. So I'll go through the 10 offenses just as a reminder for each of us, because the essence of spiritual practice is to understand what to do and understand what to avoid. It's called anukulena pratikul. We want to do those things which are favorable for our progress in devotional service, and there are many, and we want to avoid those things that are unfavorable and take us away from the path of bhakti, take us into the wrong consciousness. So the 10 offenses to the holy name are things to avoid. This is the pratikul, but they are essential in order to get progress on the path of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, avoid offenses. And he made that statement in a very sweeping way many times, because this is really what it takes to really progress on the path of Nam Kirtan or Nam Japa, is to very much know what are those 10 offenses and try to avoid them. make an effort to avoid them. Unless we know what they are, we don't know what to avoid. So the first offense is to blaspheme those devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. This is called hasti aparad. Hasti means elephant, or that offense which is quite devastating to one's spiritual practice. There are those devotees who have dedicated their lives to spreading the mercy of the Lord everywhere and anywhere, and that is their focus in life. So to vilify, to find fault with such persons for any reason is a transgression away from the process of bhakti, and it causes one to, let me say, lose the mercy of the Lord. So one has to be very careful in that. And Prabhupada extended that by saying, that means all devotees. One should not find fault with devotees. It's pretty much an absolute principle. Because that mentality is contrary to bhakti. It is not only contrary to bhakti, it is completely contrary to bhakti, to find fault with devotees. And especially, as it's mentioned here, those who dedicate their lives to propagate Krishna consciousness everywhere. The second offense, and this is interesting, is to see that there are other devas, there are Brahma, Shiva, Ganesh, and many other great personalities who rule the higher realms and have a very important function in the overall process of maintaining the cosmic manifestation and giving blessings, benedictions, and they have big services. They're very powerful. But to consider them to be equal to or independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the second offense. What is that verse? I can't think of the verse right now. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahudam vidadati kaman. That there is only one person who maintains all the other living entities, including Brahma, Shiva, and all the powerful demigods. And that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So no one is equal to him and no one is greater to him. Therefore, he is exclusively the principle of worship. We honor and respect these other personalities, but we don't worship them on the same level as the Supreme Personality of God. So that's the second offense. Try to avoid that. The third offense is to disobey or even to minimize the instructions of the spiritual master. The instructions of the spiritual master are the means by which the devotee makes progress in devotional service. It's the meditation by which the devotee absorbs themselves in how to execute devotional service. It becomes the life and soul and the direction of the devotee. So to disobey, to vilify, to minimize is the third offense. The fourth offense is interesting. To blaspheme other religious scriptures or scriptures that are in pursuance of the Vedic version. There are many religious scriptures in the world. And many of them deal with other principles other than pure devotional service. They may deal with karmakanda, jnanakanda, or various types of pujas, homas, and rituals. And one might think, well, they're not as good as, you know, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But they have a purpose, and they're made for elevation. So to find fault with such scriptures is considered to be the fourth offense. Is that correct? Do you want to add anything to that? I know you can help with that one. Okay, thank you. So that, and sometimes we do that in a very, because we feel, all right, yes, we're situated nicely with Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they are, what would you say, you know, they are the topmost of all scriptures because they deal only with pure devotional service. But all these other scriptures have a purpose, and that purpose has to be understood and respected on that level but they cannot be compared to, you know, pure scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So to find fault, vilify is an offense. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of the holy name as to be imaginary. The statements in the Shastras really glorify the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. For instance, Kali Kale Namarupa Krishna Avatar Namahoite Havasar Jagat Nistara, that Krishna has come in the form of his holy name. It is non-different than Krishna. So someone might think, well, yeah, there's Krishna and then there's his holy name, and make a distinction between the two. So to make that distinction is a wrong mentality, and it can lead to offenses. So one should avoid that. The statements that glorify the holy name are simply understatements. The glories of the holy name cannot be really expressed. They are beyond our ability because it's Krishna in sound. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. What is that verse? Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnya Sudya Nitya Mukta Abhinna Tvam Nami Namina Abhinna. Abhinna means same. Abhinna means non-different. Abhinna means non-different. Abhinna means same. So Krishna's name and Krishna, the same. One devotee was giving a class one time. Prabhupada was sitting there. I mean, you can imagine trying to give a class with Prabhupada listening to you. It's kind of like nerve-wracking. You know, you're kind of make believe he's not there just so you can speak. And so the devotee was saying, and Krishna is within his name. Krishna is within his name. And immediately Srila Prabhupada stopped him and he said, where in his name is he? And then the devotee got the understanding. No, Krishna is not within his name. He is his name. There's no difference. So we can't really even come close to understand these statements that glorify the holy name, because they're always less than what the holy name is. So there's no imagination in the holy name's glorification. It's simply an understatement. To give some interpretation of the holy name, to compare it to something material, that is the sixth offense. What does that mean? Well, it means that, well, I just had a nice fresh bath and I feel really good and relaxed and I'm ready to go. I guess the holy name is just like that. In other words, to compare it to something in this material world that is nice. The holy name cannot be interpreted in any material way. Again, as we mentioned, it is Krishna in sound. And nothing can be compared to it. Nothing should be compared to it. It is the ultimate principle of existence, Krishna's holy name. It's the ultimate principle of mercy also. The seventh offense, and Prabhupada talks about this one a lot. I think it's yasya hi prapabuddhi. Yasya hi prapabuddhi. I can't remember the whole statement. But what it says is that to commit offenses on the chanting of the holy name and think that the holy name is very merciful, the holy name is very powerful, therefore, I can do something wrong or something material that's against the process of devotional service. I now have the secret. In other words, I can use that chanting of the holy name to reduce and to eliminate the reactions of whatever I'm doing that's wrong. You know, a little intoxication, a little maybe illicit activities. And then I'll just chant and I'll get free from that. The holy name is very powerful. If someone does these things accidentally or by circumstance due to being victimized, the holy name will relieve that. But if one purposely thinks that now I have the solution to why I can enjoy something and then chant, that is a wrong mentality. Prabhupada said the holy name will not act in that way. There was one devotee who had come into our society. He was a very powerful person. It was back in the early 70s. And he had brought many other followers. He was quite charismatic. And he had introduced, after some time being with Srila Prabhupada, the idea of chanting Hare Krishna and smoking marijuana. Because he thought this would enhance the quality of one's japa. And there are people who think like this, so it's not something out of the ordinary. And many people were following. Not, I don't know how many, but some were following. And the word got back to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, stop it. But then the devotees were saying, well, he's chanting Hare Krishna, and he recommends we chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, his chanting is useless. It's useless. Because he's committing that offense of doing something restrictive, prohibitive, and at the same time, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. So that one is considered the most dangerous of all offense. The eighth one, we should all take note of the eighth offense, to consider the ritualistic activities in the Vedas to be equal to or even superior to the chanting of Hare Krishna. And people say that, well, you know, you're chanting Hare Krishna, and we're doing our puja, we're doing our homa, we're doing our rituals. It's all the same. Yatamat tatapata. It's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all spiritual. Haribo. Sounds familiar? Okay. So, it's not. It's another offense, because these other things are in the categories of karmakana or jnanakana. They have a place, but they cannot be compared to or equal to the chanting of the holy name. Nor can one replace the chanting of the holy name with these activities. And that's the eighth offense. The ninth offense is to speak the glories to the unfaithful. Let's speak the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. Now, sometimes we do that in such a large gathering of people. We may start speaking about the glories of the holy name in a congregational talk. But on the one-to-one basis, we should very much carefully avoid that. If you're preaching the glories of the holy name, keep it simple and keep it very direct. Don't get into the higher understandings of the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna. You know, keep it simple, because if we force people to accept the chanting against their will, that causes problems for both them and us. In other words, they're resistant, and by being resistant, they also they hurt their own progress in spiritual life, which may come later to a better circumstance. So we should be very careful. Keep it simple. Say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Chant Hare Krishna, it relieves your material distress. We could speak like that. But don't get into the higher glories. And by chanting Hare Krishna, you can find out who you are in the spiritual world. You're actually, I can see you're a gopi. And if you keep chanting, you'll get there. So that's not the idea. So keep it very simple. When we preach to those who are new people, or people who are maybe a little bit resistant. And the last one, this is called the I, me, mine offense. As I've heard many lectures, I've read many books, I understand a lot, I've heard a lot about the glories of the holy name, but I'm still attached to happiness in the material world. I'm still looking for material happiness. Even though I'm chanting the holy name, I've heard so many lectures, I've been around for enough times to get enough association. In other words, we're not convinced that the holy name actually is all we need in our execution of devotional service. We're still looking towards material life for happiness. Prabhupada said it's not wrong to have material desires, but it's wrong to act on them. So here's the difference. We can't just get rid of material desires. It's a process. But to have them, and we might say it's natural or normal, but to act on them, then we're simply increasing them and we're making them stronger. So we should avoid that and stick with the understanding that my happiness, my progress is in relationship to Krishna in devotional service. In other words, we can find everything we need in Krishna consciousness and more, ultimately. That's the tenth offense. It's called I, Me, and Mine. It means that I'm still on the bodily platform of life. And sometimes we speak about the 11th offense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very keen on giving us a little understanding of how important this offense is to chant inattentively. So one should very carefully try to chant the holy names of the Lord with ultimate attention. Make that an effort when you chant. Avoid laziness, lackadaisicalness, and whenever there's the mind becomes distracted for whatever reason, always bring it back to the sound of Krishna's holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you carefully avoid the 11th offense, you will also reduce the tendency to commit any of the other 10 offenses. So it's very, very fundamental to our progress. Chant with attention. Okay, and so remember these 10 offenses, study them. Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 1st chapter, verse number 11, gives a nice detailed explanation also in Nectar Devotion. There's many discussions on these. And this is where you can really make your progress. If you avoid these 10 offenses, your chanting will take you fast on the forward on the path of bhakti. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.